Very good, job all done, thank you. We will move to 17, River Otter Action Plan.
All right, good morning, members of the commission. Can everybody see my screen and hear me correctly?
Yes, we can see your screen and we can hear you. You can go ahead.
Perfect. All right. So good morning, members of the commission, Secretary Roebling. My name is Alex Solm. I'm a senior wildlife biologist out of the Huron office. Today I'm going to go over the North American River Otter Action Plan. So this action plan is a guiding document to kind of give us direction for the next 5 years on what we're going to do for specific objectives and strategies for the proper management of river otters in South Dakota. This is the first action plan that we've ever done for this species, so it's kind of unique and definitely a learning curve for everything that we're doing. So I'll just jump right into it. If my screen will advance. All right. So some of the things that we do for river otters is obviously we have to monitor their population. We want to get a good indication of how their population's doing. That way we can adequately set our harvest limits, you know, and kind of do right by the species on allowing some sort of recreational opportunity, but making sure that their population is sustainable. In order to do this, first when the river otters were reintroduced into South Dakota, we took reports of signs, sightings, and mortalities, such as incidental trapping events, and road kills, and just kind of anything where there was an otter carcass available to us. We've continued to do this since, you know, 97, 96, when these critters were reintroduced in South Dakota. You know, we use this as a baseline indication, kind of an index to abundance. You know, if our reports and mortalities and things are going up, we assume that the population's increasing as well. We verify a lot of these reports, so we either require a picture, firsthand knowledge of the species, such as like a WDM trapper, or some sort of staff from GFP knowing what an otter actually looks like, the behavior, all that sort of stuff, actually verifying it, and not just, you know, a random report that somebody happened to see something that looks a lot like a mink, a lot like a beaver, that sort of thing. You know, like I alluded to, a lot of these mortalities, we're able to collect carcasses, so we do necropsies on all of these individuals that we get, including the harvest that we have, and I'll get into that a little bit later here in the next slide. These necropsies give us information on morphology, diet, you know, body condition, all the type of information that you get from actually having a carcass with you in hand. One of the cool things that we do with this is we actually pull the canine or upper canines from each of these carcasses that we get, collect that tooth, clean it off, and then we send it to a lab where they actually do cementum annuli aging. And this is where they look at the age much like a ring of a tree. So we're able to get an age of that otter. And within with that information, we can tell whether or not the population is, or the age structure of the population, if we have a ton of old individuals or if we have some younger individuals, which obviously indicates that there's some sort of reproduction going on, which was a stipulation that to get this species, you know, delisted when we first created it as a game species in the state. With these ages, we also can do what we call population backdating. So we take the age of these individuals, and we basically, if an otter was 6 years old, we know that that otter was in the population back 6 years. So it gives us a population trajectory if we can kind of accumulate all the known otters for that particular year class, and it gives us a good idea of how the population's growing. A good example of that is the upper right-hand picture in the slide that I'm displaying. It does exclude otters that we have had physically harvested within the bounds of our season, and as well as, you know, the current year estimates. Obviously, any otter that's still alive today has the ability to contribute to this data set in the future. So we kind of exclude the first, you know, of the last 5 years or so of the data, and really kind of look at it more of a historic population trajectory than what it actually is currently. Another really cool thing that we've been doing with otters, we established this in 2020 is what we call a latrine survey. So we have 23 transects that we've identified that are anywhere from about a mile and a half to 3.5 miles of river stretch within the Big Sioux watershed or Big Sioux River. Myself and other staff, what we do is we put in at a bridge, we float down the Big Sioux, and we look for signs of otters as well as, you know, areas that we think a latrine is actually going to be at. And when I refer to a latrine, it's actually where these otters actually go to the bathroom. These are communal latrines. They use it as scent markings, almost as like a telephone booth. So otters in the area will come to these latrines. You know, they'll deposit scat, anal jellies, all that sort of stuff. And what we do is once these latrines are located, we take a swab of each individual scat, anal jelly, and what we can do is we can actually uniquely identify the individuals that are using it and come up with a very reliable count, per se. We're still in the, I guess you could say, middle phases of this type of research that we're doing to see if it's a viable long-term monitoring program. We send these samples to the University of Idaho, where they do, you know, a lot of DNA analysis that's way above my pay grade, and I don't even, you know, attempt to understand what's going on, but they send us back a list of individuals and how many times they were encountered and if they were encountered prior years and all this sort of stuff. And then from there, we can take that and we can do mark recapture studies. We can look at, seeker type analyses to come up with a reliable abundance estimate. Right now, we're currently looking at the different avenues that we can go through and how reliable those abundance estimates actually are. We have about 3 years of data that we're analyzing. We should be getting back our fourth year data here, just kind of looking at our confidence intervals and how, you know, confident we are in that population that we're estimate that we're getting actually from the Big Sioux. So it's pretty cool things. This survey actually takes place in the end of September, early October. It's a great time to be outside. It's probably one of the best surveys or funnest surveys that I've ever done. Float down the Big Sioux, really relaxing. Keep your eye out. You see wood ducks flying, geese flying, deer, turkeys, everything. Occasional otter, which is really nice to see. And then, after about an hour and a half to 3 hours, you complete your survey, and we bundle up all the samples, and we ship them off. So, like I alluded to before, harvest structure for this species, we have a November 1 start date, much like coincides with our, normal fur-bearing season. What's different from this season structure is we actually have a harvest limit of 20 river otters. The first year that this season took place, it was 15, and then the subsequent year, we bumped it up to 20. When this harvest limit is reached, folks get 24 hours to report any additional harvests, and they get to keep that legally. Once that 24-hour grace period is over, the season is essentially closed, and any otter that's trapped after that 24-hour grace period has to be turned into a CO. This is open to residents only, and all normal laws apply. Fur bearer license is required. Landowners on their own land are allowed to trap without a fur bearer license, as well as youth. We have a very wide array of folks that have trapped it. It's really kind of a cool opportunity where these folks actually have to call in and report this harvest within 12 hours, and a lot of times they're just tickled pink. I talked to, 20 to 22 of these guys annually, folks that have just had the opportunity to harvest them. They've incidentally trapped them in years past and that sort of thing, but this is the first otter that they've actually got to keep, and they're super excited, as well as youth and things like that. So one of the cool things is that every time that one of these otters is harvested, I have an app on my phone where I enter in the information. It does a live update to keep track of this species or keep track of this season, so folks have know when they have to go out there and close their traps that they're specifically trying to target otters with, and things. And it can be a little crazy there in the first week in November, but Definitely well worth it when you get to talk to a guy for a few minutes on the phone and see how excited he is that he finally harvested an otter. So, like I alluded to in the beginning of the presentation, you know, this action plan is to guide our management for the next 5 years for otters. In South Dakota, we want to manage our river otter populations with data and techniques that encourage the occupation of suitable habitats, as well as providing a sustainable use, the opportunity for sustainable use and enjoyment within social tolerance of this species. So in order to do that, we've developed roughly four objectives that we're going to try to achieve within the next 5 years. And I've also identified strategies in order to how to help us achieve these objectives that we're going to. So the first objective, obviously, is to determine the status of river otter populations. In order to do this, we're going to continue to collect and summarize the otter reports that I talked about in the first actual slide of this presentation. This helps us, you know, improve our knowledge and distribution, as well as document the knowledge and distribution of the species, as well as document any sort of expansion. And we're going to continue to collect this and use these graphs as a good indication on how the population is doing. In addition to this, we're going to keep doing necropsies. From this necropsy information, we're going to keep looking at age structure, sex ratio, you know, reproductive in the different watersheds across the state. And we're going to try to keep doing the cementum annuli analyses to do this population backdating that I, you know, alluded to earlier in the presentation. In addition to this, we want to continue to annually implement these latrine surveys. Not only selfishly is it a really, you know, cool and easygoing survey, but it gives us some really good information. You know, in the next 4 or 5 years, we really want to narrow down on the data that we're collecting and what's the appropriate way to actually analyze it and come up with a good abundance estimate or index to what the population's actually doing to kind of come up with a reliable population estimate. The second objective that we've identified is to manage the populations using harvest strategies that maximize sustainable recreational opportunity. You know, to do this, our river otter are on a biannual recommendation cycle, so we're going to biannually review the existing data that we have, as well as summarize the reports and all the information that we're collecting to determine the status of this population. By 2029, we really want to come up with a harvest limit decision support tool to help guide harvest strategies. So much like the big game where we have a maintain, decrease, or increase population type objectives, we want to come up with this as well. Potentially using the Big Sioux as kind of our index for that in eastern South Dakota. You know, if we can continue to collect this data and we're getting reliable information like we have been, I'm hoping that this, you know, decision support tool will actually come to fruition before 2029. You know, and as well as this, we're also going to collect some trapper and hunter information. Everybody that collects or is lucky enough to harvest an otter during the season structure, you know, we quote unquote interview these folks when they come in to receive their CITES tag for this species. So we look at hunter or trapper hunter effort, how many traps they put out specifically to catch otter, as well as if they're actually targeting it. This can get us a catch per unit effort, which in kind of lightly trapped populations is a really good kind of pseudo index to abundance. We also look at harvest locations and that sort of thing to see, you know, where the greatest amount of harvest is actually coming. In addition to that, our third objective, obviously we want to inform and educate public on river otter ecology and management. The main objective or the main strategy for this objective is outside of the scope of a normal season. We want to annually provide information to those folks that are going out there trapping to try to reduce the incidental river otter catches. A lot of these trappers have been trapping for a long time. You know, they've tangled with an otter or two, and they do a really good job of trying to avoid it by, you know, altering their sets and things like that. But a little helpful reminder every year, some new techniques or new avoidance techniques that might come out never hurts. But we want to continue to do this, you know, prior to the season or after the season to try to eliminate those incidental catches. Another thing that we want to do is obviously respond to all requests for service. We haven't had very many of these requests for service for depredating otters over the probably 10, 20 years that we've dealt with them. However, they do happen. So we want to, respond to these as best as we possibly can, educate these, people that are, educate the folks that do have these problems to try to help them out in the long run, and, respond to these requests the best we can. Our last objective, obviously, one of the main department priorities is habitat and access. Otters, especially in the Big Sioux, they're very good indicator species of generally good, healthy aquatic ecosystems. So really healthy water, good riparian areas and all that sort of stuff. Generally, it correlates with the presence of otters really well. So in order to, not only to keep with our department's priority, but also help this species and a lot of other species that are involved in these riparian systems, we want to, keep our financial commitment to the 25,000 acres goal that we have to enroll along the Big Sioux River watershed CREP. Like I mentioned, the majority of our population is kind of centered around that Big Sioux in far eastern South Dakota. So any type of riparian habitat projects that we can do to slow down sediment deposit, increase water quality, and not only provide access for some of these folks to get out here and recreate is definitely going to help the species. This species, is slowly moving east. And again, some of these, water quality issues, have come over my way to Huron. So we're going to continue to our commitment to the 82,000 acres that we currently have enrolled in the Big Sioux CREP. As well as trying to enroll to the project goal of 100,000. Like I said before, anytime that we can improve water quality, provide habitat, and then obviously offer some sort of access, not only benefiting otters in particular, but pheasants, ducks, deer, all that sort of stuff. So kind of in a roundabout way, this addition of habitat in eastern South Dakota is going to do some really good things. We're also going to support the riparian buffer initiative. So not everybody is eligible for CREP or that particular CRP practice. So there's other avenues out there to help landowners, do the proper stewardship of the ground that they have in eastern South Dakota. So we're going to promote that project as well. And we're going to do, promote any type of project such as water tanks, grazing infrastructure, good stocking rates, all that sort of stuff to kind of, help out the habitat that's currently there, using our private land staff that we've added into the state, and providing cost share for that sort of thing. These restoration projects and range management projects that are hopefully going to go on in these areas, again, is just going to only enhance the habitats that's there, and do great things for not just river otters but other species that are there in particular. And with that, I can take any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Alex. Any questions from the commission here or our commissioners online? Comments? Seeing none, very good information and action plan that's been provided to us. We appreciate it and all the hard work that everybody put into it. Thank you, Alex.